Who would have thought that a simple fable about cheese-seeking characters could become one of the most influential business books of all time? Out of the Maze, the posthumously published sequel to Spencer Johnson's 30-million-copy bestseller Who Moved My Cheese, arrived at a critical moment when adaptability has never been more essential. Before his passing in 2017, Johnson completed this profound follow-up that Oprah Winfrey called a gift to humanity. The book has been embraced by Fortune 500 CEOs and featured in countless leadership programs worldwide. What makes this slim volume so powerful is its deceptive simplicity. Beneath the straightforward narrative lies a revolutionary message about how our beliefs, not our circumstances, determine our destiny. As Johnson's close friend Ken Blanchard noted, this book represents not just Johnson's professional legacy, but how he personally faced his final challenge with pancreatic cancer, by choosing beliefs that brought him peace rather than suffering. Our beliefs shape everything about our lives, what we see, what we feel, and what we achieve. They operate like invisible software running in the background of our minds, filtering our perception of reality. The central revelation in Out of the Maze is that we often remain trapped not by our external circumstances, but by our rigid belief systems. When we first reconnect with him, the stubborn character who refused to leave Cheese Station C in the original story, we find him exactly where we left him, hungry, angry, and alone after his friend Haw departed to find new cheese. Hem's predicament isn't just physical hunger, it's a crisis of belief. He clings desperately to the notion that the cheese should be here, and it's not fair that it's gone. These aren't just passing thoughts, but deeply embedded beliefs that paralyze him. What makes beliefs so powerful is their self-reinforcing nature. Once we believe something, we seek evidence to confirm it, while dismissing contradictory information. Hem's certainty that the cheese would return prevented him from considering alternatives. This phenomenon, known as confirmation bias, explains why intelligent people can remain stuck in counterproductive patterns despite clear evidence they should change course. Johnson brilliantly illustrates how our beliefs create self-fulfilling prophecies. When Hem finally ventures into the maze with his heavy tools, another belief that these tools are essential, he exhausts himself quickly. His belief that the maze is dangerous makes him avoid certain paths, limiting his options. His conviction that I need cheese to survive blinds him to other potential food sources. The most insidious aspect of limiting beliefs is their invisibility. We don't see them as beliefs at all, but as facts or reality. As Hem repeatedly states, these are simply the facts of the matter. This distinction between actual facts and our interpretations of them represents the first crucial step toward freedom, recognizing that many of our facts are actually changeable beliefs. In the darkness of the maze, Hem encounters an unexpected character, a little person named Hope, who offers him a strange red object called an apple. This pivotal meeting introduces several transformative elements into Hem's stagnant world. Hope represents more than just her name suggests. She embodies curiosity, openness, and a different perspective. Unlike Hem, who dogmatically searches only for cheese, Hope explores the maze with wonder and adaptability. When her own food supply, fruit, diminishes, she doesn't despair, but sees it as an opportunity to discover something new. This contrasts sharply with Hem's rigid approach. The introduction of apples as an alternative to cheese symbolizes the possibilities that exist beyond our narrow expectations. Hem's initial refusal, "I only eat cheese," highlights how we often reject viable solutions simply because they don't match our preconceptions. His eventual desperate sampling of the apple represents that critical moment when necessity forces us to question our assumptions. What makes Hope particularly effective as a catalyst is her questioning approach. Rather than directly challenging Hem's beliefs, she asks innocent but profound questions that prompt him to think differently. When she asks, "I wonder where the cheese came from before it disappeared," she plants a seed that eventually blossoms into Hem's breakthrough. This technique, asking questions rather than making assertions, bypasses the natural defensiveness we feel when our beliefs are directly challenged. Their partnership also illustrates the importance of community in changing beliefs. Isolated in our own thought patterns, we often lack the perspective to see alternatives. Hope provides not just emotional support, but cognitive diversity, a different way of thinking that complements Hem's limitations. Perhaps most significantly, Hope demonstrates the power of genuine curiosity. While Hem approaches the maze with predetermined expectations, finding cheese, Hope explores with an open mind. This curiosity-driven approach proves far more effective in a complex, changing environment than Hem's goal-fixated strategy. In our own lives, cultivating curiosity rather than certainty can similarly open doors we didn't know existed. As Hem ventures into the maze, he insists on carrying his chisel and hammer tools that once helped him find cheese. These physical objects brilliantly symbolize the outdated solutions we continue to apply long after they've stopped working. The tools that once served us well can become burdens that exhaust us and limit our mobility. These tools represent Hem's methodology, his approach to problem solving based on past success. He believes that trying harder with the same tools will eventually yield results. This mirrors our own tendency to double down on failing strategies rather than questioning our fundamental approach. We've all heard the definition of insanity as doing the same thing repeatedly and expecting different results. Yet we fall into this trap constantly. Johnson illustrates this through Hem's increasing exhaustion as he lugs these heavy tools through the maze. The physical burden parallels the mental burden of clinging to outdated methods. When Hope gently questions whether the tools are actually helping find cheese, Hem initially reacts defensively, a realistic portrayal of how we respond when our cherished approaches are challenged. The tools also represent Hem's identity as a cheese finder. Abandoning them would mean redefining himself, a prospect many find terrifying. Our professional identities often become intertwined with specific methodologies or skills. The newspaper editor who can't adapt to digital publishing, the taxi driver resistant to ride-sharing apps, the executive who rejects remote work, all cling to tools that once defined their success. What makes this metaphor particularly powerful is its universality. Everyone carries tools that once served them well, but may now be hindrances. These might be relationship patterns learned in childhood, management techniques from a previous era, or marketing strategies that worked before social media. The challenge lies not in working harder with these tools, but in recognizing when they've become obstacles rather than assets. Hem's eventual willingness to question the utility of his tools marks a crucial turning point in his journey. It represents the courage to ask whether our trusted methods still serve us, a question that requires both humility and wisdom to answer honestly. The pivotal moment in Hem's transformation comes through a dream, a powerful narrative device that allows Johnson to visualize the invisible prison of limiting beliefs. In this dream, Hem sees himself locked in a cell within Cheese Station C, realizing with horror that he has been his own jailer all along. The bars of his cell are formed by his own beliefs, and the key to freedom lies in his own hands. This dream sequence brilliantly illustrates how our most profound insights often emerge not from logical analysis, but from subconscious recognition of truths we've been avoiding. Dreams bypass our conscious defenses, allowing suppressed realizations to surface. Hem's dream doesn't present new information. He already knows his beliefs are limiting him, but it presents this knowledge in a visceral, undeniable form that catalyzes action. The image of self-imprisonment is particularly powerful. Many of us can relate to the sensation of being trapped while simultaneously suspecting we're somehow complicit in our own confinement. the dream makes explicit what we often sense intuitively, that our perceived limitations are largely self-imposed. As Hem realizes upon waking, my beliefs are the bars that held me captive. This revelation transforms Hem's energy and outlook. Before the dream, he was exhausted, defeated, and bitter. Afterward, he's energized and hopeful, not because his external circumstances have changed, but because his perception has shifted. This illustrates a fundamental principle. Our emotional state often depends less on our situation than on our interpretation of it. The dream also serves as a turning point in Hem's relationship with Hope. Previously, he had dismissed her gentle questioning. After the dream, he becomes receptive to her perspective, particularly her provocative question about the origin of the cheese. This demonstrates how internal shifts in belief create openness to external input that was previously rejected. Johnson's use of the dream sequence speaks to a deeper truth about transformational change. It rarely happens through purely intellectual processes. Real change typically involves emotional and intuitive dimensions that logical argument alone cannot access. The dream provides that emotional catalyst, making Hem's intellectual understanding of his limiting beliefs visceral and urgent. I wonder what's outside the maze? With this simple question, Hope introduces the most revolutionary concept in the book, the possibility that the entire framework Hem has been operating within might be unnecessarily limiting. This question challenges not just a specific belief, but the container holding all of Hem's beliefs. The power of this question lies in its ability to shift perspective from working within a system to examining the system itself. Hem had been frantically searching for cheese within the maze, never questioning whether the maze itself was the problem. This parallels how we often exhaust ourselves trying to succeed within frameworks that may be fundamentally flawed or unnecessarily constraining. Initially, Hem dismisses the question as nonsensical. There is nothing outside the maze, revealing how deeply we can internalize the boundaries of our current reality. The maze represents any limiting context we accept without question. A dysfunctional organization, an unhealthy relationship pattern, or even an entire industry paradigm that's becoming obsolete. Hope's question exemplifies what innovation experts call frame-breaking thinking. Rather than seeking better solutions within an established framework, it questions the framework itself. This is the difference between asking, "How can I find more cheese in this maze?" and "Do I need to be in this maze at all?" The former leads to incremental improvement. The latter opens possibilities for transformational change. When Hem finally embraces the possibility that something exists beyond the maze, he writes on the wall, "There is something amazing outside the maze." This represents a crucial principle in belief change. Sometimes we must act as if a new belief is true before we have evidence for it. By writing this statement, Hem commits to a possibility he hasn't yet verified, demonstrating the leap of faith often required for transformational change. This willingness to explore beyond established boundaries leads Hem and Hope to discover dark corners and tunnels they had previously avoided, areas that ultimately lead to freedom. This beautifully illustrates how our greatest opportunities often lie precisely in the directions we've been conditioned to avoid or fear. The question about what exists outside the maze also speaks to our tendency to accept artificial limitations. In organizations, these might be the way we've always done things. In personal life, they might be assumptions about what's possible in careers, relationships, or personal growth. By questioning these boundaries, we open ourselves to possibilities that were always available but invisible within our previous belief system. After his breakthrough realization about beliefs, Hem begins actively choosing new ones, a process that transforms his experience of the maze and ultimately leads to freedom. This section of the story offers practical wisdom about how we can consciously reshape our belief systems rather than remaining passive victims of inherited or unconscious beliefs. Hem's first act of intentional belief change comes when he writes on the wall, "There is something amazing outside the maze." This illustrates a crucial principle. Articulating a new belief explicitly helps crystallize it in our minds. The act of writing makes the belief more concrete and commits us to it more deeply than merely thinking it. This explains the effectiveness of affirmations, vision boards, and written goals. They externalize and solidify beliefs that might otherwise remain nebulous. Johnson shows that changing beliefs isn't just an intellectual exercise, but requires embodied action. When Hem and Hope venture into previously avoided dark corners of the maze, they're physically enacting their new belief that opportunity might lie in unexpected places. This physical commitment reinforces cognitive change, creating a virtuous cycle where action strengthens belief and belief motivates further action. The story also reveals that changing core beliefs often triggers resistance and discomfort. When Hope first suggests exploring beyond the maze, Hem experiences confusion and anxiety, natural responses when fundamental assumptions are challenged. Rather than interpreting this discomfort as evidence that the new belief is wrong, Hem perseveres through it. This illustrates an important principle. Growth-producing belief change almost always involves a period of disorientation as we transition between mental models. Perhaps most importantly, Johnson demonstrates that belief change is rarely a solitary endeavor. Hope's presence provides both emotional support and cognitive diversity, different perspectives that help him see beyond his limitations. This social dimension of belief change explains why transformational learning often happens in communities, whether formal, like therapy groups or learning cohorts, or informal, like friendships or mentoring relationships. The story culminates with Hem and Hope crawling through a tunnel and emerging into a sunlit meadow abundant with food. A powerful metaphor for how changing our beliefs can transport us from scarcity to abundance. This transformation doesn't occur through magical thinking, but through the very practical process of questioning assumptions, exploring new possibilities, and taking action based on new beliefs. The emotional climax of the story comes when Hem and Hope, having escaped the maze, reunite with Haw, the friend Hem had believed abandoned him. This reunion represents the healing of relationships that often accompanies personal transformation, and the discovery that others haven't actually left us behind, but are waiting for us to break free of our own limitations. When Hem first spots Haw in the meadow beyond the maze, his initial reaction is complex, a mixture of joy, relief, and lingering resentment. This realistically portrays how our relationships carry the emotional residue of past interactions even after fundamental change has occurred. Hem had spent considerable time feeling betrayed by Haw, and these feelings don't instantly disappear despite his breakthrough. The reunion scene powerfully illustrates how personal transformation ripples outward to heal relationships. Hem's changed beliefs don't just free him from the maze, they free him from the bitterness and isolation that had poisoned his connection with Haw. This demonstrates a profound truth. Often, the greatest barrier to meaningful relationships isn't others' behavior, but our own rigid beliefs about them and ourselves. Johnson subtly shows how Hem's perception of Haw's actions has completely transformed. What once seemed like abandonment now appears as Haw's necessary journey, one that ultimately created a path Hem could follow. This shift in perspective exemplifies how the same events can be interpreted in radically different ways depending on our belief system. The facts haven't changed, but their meaning has been completely reframed. The reunion also reveals that Haw had found his way out of the maze earlier, suggesting that different people adapt to change at different rates. Some, like Haw, move quickly into new realities, while others, like him, require more time and different catalysts. This normalizes the varying pace of personal transformation and suggests that judging others, or ourselves, for adaptation speed misses the point that each journey unfolds in its own time. Perhaps most movingly, the reunion scene shows all three characters, Hem, Hope, and Haw, setting off together to explore beyond both cheese and apples. This final image suggests that transformation isn't a destination, but an ongoing journey of discovery. Having broken free of the maze, they don't simply settle into a new static reality, but continue exploring with newfound openness and curiosity. The genius of Johnson's approach lies in how his simple fable translates into profound practical wisdom. Through the seminar discussion that follows Hem's story, we see how these principles apply to real-world challenges across business, technology, relationships, and personal growth. The seminar participants, Alex from the tech industry, Brooke from publishing, and Tim struggling with his parents' separation, represent different manifestations of the same fundamental challenge, adapting to change by examining and revising beliefs. Their varied situations demonstrate the universal applicability of Hem's journey, showing that whether the maze is a disrupted industry or a family crisis, the path to freedom follows similar principles. Alex's realization that my real maze isn't my changing industry, it's my own thinking, captures the book's central message perfectly. This insight shifts responsibility from external circumstances to internal responses, a move that simultaneously empowers us and challenges us. We can't control industry disruption, economic shifts, or others' choices, but we can control our beliefs about these changes and therefore our responses to them. The discussion about destructive versus beneficial beliefs provides practical criteria for evaluating our own belief systems. Dennis, the seminar leader, suggests that beneficial beliefs serve as guiding truths that help us navigate change, while destructive beliefs become rigid dogmas that blind us to reality. This distinction offers a useful framework for belief audit. Does this belief expand or contract my possibilities? Does it energize or deplete me? Does it connect me with others or isolate me? The seminar also addresses the crucial distinction between core values and circumstantial beliefs. Dennis explains that while our fundamental values may remain constant, the beliefs about how to express those values must evolve as circumstances change. This nuance helps resolve the apparent contradiction between staying true to ourselves and adapting to change. We can maintain our core while flexibly adjusting our methods. Tim's struggle with his parents' separation introduces the emotional dimension of belief change. His pain comes not just from the situation itself, but from his beliefs about what it means. Beliefs like, family should stay together, and my parents failed. Dennis's gentle suggestion to examine whether these beliefs are lifting him up or holding him down acknowledges the emotional weight of belief change while offering a compassionate path forward. The seminar concludes with participants recognizing that the story's value lies not just in personal application, but in sharing it with others. This final note reminds us that belief transformation is both personal and communal. Our changed beliefs can catalyze change in our families, organizations, and communities. The book's poignant afterword by Ken Blanchard and foreword by Johnson's sons reveal how Spencer Johnson embodied the principles he wrote about, particularly during his battle with pancreatic cancer. This biographical context adds profound depth to the story, showing that Johnson wasn't merely theorizing about belief change, but living it through life's ultimate challenge. Johnson's sons, Emerson, Austin, and Christian, describe how their father faced his terminal diagnosis with the same principles he wrote about. Rather than succumbing to despair or bitterness, he chose beliefs that allowed him to experience his final months with love and gratitude. This authentic application of his philosophy transforms the book from wise advice to lived testimony. Ken Blanchard's recollection of his final visit with Johnson illustrates how choosing positive beliefs created meaningful connection even amid difficult circumstances. Their reunion with their literary agent and former publisher demonstrates how Johnson's approach to life attracted others and created moments of joy even as his physical health declined. The inclusion of Johnson's letter written during his illness provides perhaps the most powerful evidence that these principles work in life's most challenging moments. His ability to maintain perspective and gratitude while facing death speaks volumes about the transformative power of consciously chosen beliefs. Johnson's journey from surgeon to swim instructor to author reveals another dimension of his philosophy: his willingness to reinvent himself by changing his beliefs about his own purpose and contribution. This career evolution demonstrates that belief change isn't a one-time event, but an ongoing process of growth and discovery. The sons' description of their father as someone who always sought to help others connects his writing to his deeper purpose. This reminds us that belief change isn't merely about personal success or happiness, but about increasing our capacity to contribute meaningfully to others' lives. Johnson's legacy extends far beyond his books to the millions of lives transformed by his simple yet profound insights. By applying his principles to his own life's challenges, he provided the ultimate validation of their truth and power. In this way, Out of the Maze stands not just as Johnson's final professional contribution, but as his personal testimony to the freedom that comes from choosing beliefs that serve rather than imprison us.